الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم توفنا إليك مؤمنين آمنين غير مفتونين يا رب العالمين، آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue إن شاء الله on our study of the events that followed the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu after the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. And the last session we got to the point after a very important battle in the Islamic history, very tragic event of Ma'rakat al-Jamal, the Battle of al-Jamal, where the Sahaba for the very first time in history faced off on that battleground near al-Basra. And we studied how the events of al-Jamal ended with a certain victory for Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and his group. And by the end of the al-Jamal, Ali radiallahu anhu has full control over al-Basra, has full control over al-Kufa, which together were the very two important cities of al-Iraq. He also has the control over the area of Arabia, Mecca and al-Medina. Mithr is on his side, and the entire new areas of Persia is on his in his control as well. The only Mithr, the only new territory that is not in the control of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the only Mithr that showed secession from the Khilafah was al-Sham. So this is our study today, is what happened between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Ali, as we said, controlled most of the Islamic states except al-Sham, and that was on Jamad al-Akhir, on the 36th year after al-Hijrah. To understand what happened between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, we have to go back to some of the background and trying to understand how this conflict started, and just review some of that, and then see how what Ali has in his with his army and what Muawiyah had, because the events that followed, for those who don't look at the entire geopolitical atmospheres, they don't make sense at all. The way things ended is the one with the right on his side, with most power on his side, actually end up losing power at the end of this conflict. But for that, we have to understand who was in Ali's army and who was in Muawiyah's army. What was the geopolitical atmosphere, as we said? Ali had mostly Ahl al-Iraq, had the people of Iraq in his army. Well, Ahl al-Iraq are mostly the Arabs of Mudar and Rabia, and then the which are Arabs of the Arabic Peninsula, Sahara, of the desert, and large tribes of Arabia. And these tribes settled in the two cities of Kufa al-Basra, which were founded at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. These tribes were some of the tribes that rebelled against Islam immediately after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were of al-Murtaddeen, and then they went back to Islam. And most of the armies that actually went into Iraq and into Persia were from these people. And we know how Umar ibn al-Khattab refused to give him a position of imara. For the Arabs that came from those tribes, they were prohibited by Umar ibn al-Khattab to receive commanders, to be commanders. And we know some of them, of course, went back to Islam, and they were very strong, very adherent to the teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophets. And we saw how they did very well in the conquest of Persia. But Umar insisted, radiallahu anhu, that they cannot be in a control position. They cannot be in commandership. Uthman radiallahu anhu had a different position of them, and he accepted their repentance, and it's been years since the rebellion, since al-ridda against Islam, and he started giving him more responsibilities and more positions. And what happened is these people had a lot of political disturbances inside the Ansar, inside the new territories. And they would complain about their commanders, and they send their complaints to Al-Madinah. And what happened often is the Khalifa would actually change their commander. They would change their emir, they change their governor, and respond to their complaints. So they got used to the idea of not obeying their emir. That's what the historians study, and when they study the psychology of what happened in those people, with among these people, is they had a habit of rebelling one way or the other, whether it's a violent rebellion or non-violent rebellion, against their emir, against their governor, against the people in charge. And many times that actually found listening ears in Al-Madinah, and things were changing for them. And we know of the three Ansar that rebelled against Uthman ibn Affan, where two of them were in Al-Iraq, were Basra and Al-Kufa. So people of Al-Iraq at that time, which, as again, were compromised of most of Arabian tribes that migrated from Arabia and settled into these new territories. And when Ali was over them, he was also faced and had to deal with the same issues that governors before him did, and people of charge, people of authority, had to deal with these tribes and with these people. He also had to be very wary of the conflicts between the tribes and the tribal politics between Mudar and Rabi'a and the clans. So it was a very complicated political situation in this area of the Islamic world. On the other hand, what Muawiyah had was a completely different geopolitical atmosphere. Muawiyah was appointed by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq over Dimash. Later on, by Umar ibn al-Khattab, excuse me. And then, at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Syria, the Sham, was divided into four important imara, four important states, sub-states of this imara of al-Sham. And it was Dimashq. Dimashq was, Damascus was the capital, was the one of the biggest cities for the Rum, for the Byzantine. The other important city was Homs. And it was, as we studied during our study of conquest of al-Sham. Then you have Iliyah, or Palestine, was also a very important political and very important military base. And then you had areas east of the Jordan River. And for the first time in Islamic history, all four imara falls into under one command in Dimashq. Well, that was the command of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And he reigned over that during the in almost most of the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, 10 years. Then Uthman ibn Affan came, and he was one of the very elite of Umayyah, Muawiyah, and he was a capable emir. He was a very shrewd politician. And he had full control over his imara. And he did very well in the fighting against the Byzantine, and we know he conquered the island of Cyprus. He led the army into Cyprus. And Uthman left him there, and he stayed there the entire 12 years of the Khilafah of Uthman. So for over 20 years, over al-Sham, there was one governor, and that is Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So there was stability, and there was good establishment of the authority of Muawiyah over al-Sham. And the people of al-Sham loved the way that Muawiyah governed them, because Muawiyah is governing by Islam. In comparison, in opposition, if you oppose that to what their Byzantine rulers used to govern them with, I mean, religious freedom found its way into the even the Christians in Sham, and then the people that converted and reverted back into Islam, and there was an atmosphere of satisfaction and pleasure under the rule of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So you contrast that with what's going on in Iraq, and you understand that Muawiyah had a great advantage in al-Sham, and people were faithful and they would follow Muawiyah. And then what happened that we know in Medina after Uthman radiallahu anhu was murdered, Naila bint al-Farafisa, his wife, sent the shirt of Uthman ibn Affan with the blood on it, with her cut fingers, with the mushaf, with everything that has Uthman blood on it, way to Dimashq, to Ash-Sham. And she told, and with the message with An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, to Muawiyah, anta waliyuddam. You are the one, you are the responsible party for the retaliation and the revenge for the blood of Uthman ibn Affan. So what Muawiyah did is he did not give the bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the secession in the Muslim Ummah started at that point. Because he wanted the revenge against the, and the retaliation against the murders of Uthman first. Like the same initial idea that Talha bin Ubaidillah and Al-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam started with. But then things took a different turn with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Talha and Al-Zubayr had a very clear goal, is they wanted to establish a deen, as we said, establish the Qur'an. They said, the punishment against murder in the Qur'an is such and such, and those who don't do that are wrong, that's why we're going to have a conflict with Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and we went into that with details. Muawiyah wanted revenge at any cost, and he wanted the killers of Uthman ibn Affan brought to justice, and he did not call for himself to become a khalifa, and that's a very important thing to know initially. He did not. Here's what happened in the initial days and initial months after the secession that Muawiyah started against the khilafah. He went to Ash-Sham and he started preparing an army of people to revenge against the killers of Uthman ibn Affan. And he prepared an army of 60,000 fighters. And we know the story when he sent to Ali ibn Abi Talib, the messenger telling him that I have 60,000 people crying under the blooded shirt of Uthman ibn Affan ready to take revenge. What he did after that is he started sending his messengers to make sure that Sham is with him, that the sub-states like the Imara of Hims, Palestine, Jordan, east of Jordan, they're all with him on this call for the blood of Uthman ibn Affan. And what he did is he sent to Hakim Hims, or Wali Hims, the Emir of Hims, and his name was Shurahbil ibn Samt. And Shurahbil is a man that is also known for his righteousness, and he's known for his strong adherence to Islam. When Shurahbil received the letter of Muawiyah, he thought about it, and he was convinced that Muawiyah is on the right path, that the blood of Uthman has to be retaliated for, and we cannot give the bay'ah to Khalifa that is protecting the way that Muawiyah presented the case to his emirs, is here is Ali protecting the killers of Uthman, and we know that they were embedded in his army and mingled in his army, and he is refusing to apply the punishment ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over these killers, and I want your help and support. So Shurahbil ibn Samt said, you are right with your call, but you are wrong with the way you're doing it. So how so? He said, well, we are Muslims. And Muslims cannot go without an emir. The mu'mineen has to have a khalifa. We cannot just go on and we become a gang of people calling for retaliation. He said, so I'm calling upon you to become a khalifa over the Muslimin. And he called for Muawiyah. Shurahbil ibn Samt was the first one to make that call, that Muslims have to have a khalifa. And of course, Muslims always had a khalifa except for this age, subhanAllah. So he said, Muslims have to have a khalifa. And if we do not acknowledge the bay'ah for Ali, then we have to give bay'ah to someone. And that someone should be you, Muawiyah. And Muawiyah accepted the bay'ah of Hims. And so Hims became the first imara to call for Muawiyah to become a khalifa, and that's where things started to really get politically ugly in the Muslim world, because this is for the first time that there is two people that are called by two different factions of the Muslim world as a Khalifa. And we know that Ali ibn Abi Talib recognized that that was a big problem. And his initial march out of Medina was not towards Iraq, as we studied. It was towards Asham. He wants to take care of this major problem, because this would split the Muslim Ummah. What that cannot have two Khalifa in one Ummah at one time. That this is just incomprehensible. So Ali said, this is a more danger fitna than the blood of Uthman. He said, إِنَّهَا أَخْطَرْ. This fitna is worse than the murder of Uthman himself, is to split the Muslim Ummah into two Khalifa and two nations. So he started preparing his army in Al-Iraq to move on to Muawiyah. What happened before that as well is Muawiyah was trying to get support from some Sahaba. And he got support in the person of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Amr ibn al-As, as we know, he was a muhajir. He was from the muhajirin. He was from the late muhajirin. He made hijrah with Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. So he is a sahabi of the high ranks of sahaba, because he's from the muhajirin. He was also a commander for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a commander for Abu Bakr during the war of Ar-Ridda. And then he was the commander of Umar ibn al-Khattab during his conquest of Sham and then in Egypt. And he was the one that conquered North Egypt, North Africa and areas of Egypt for the Muslims. Later on at the time of Uthman, he was governor of Egypt, but Uthman actually made him step down and he appointed Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh. Now when the conflict started and Amr ibn al-As went out of Medina when Uthman was besieged, he did not want to get involved in the affairs of that particular fitna. And then he heard that he went to Palestine. He went to Palestine. And then the news came from Medina that Uthman radiallahu anhu is killed. So he said, and this is a direct quotation, he asked, did you ask who killed him? And they said, we did not, but Ali was asked about the murder of Uthman, and he said, wallahi ma amartu, wala nahaytu, wala sarrani. Ali said, I did not order or enjoin the killing of Uthman, and Ali did not enjoin and did not was not happy with the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then he said, who became the Khalifa? They said Ali became the Khalifa of the Muslims. And then he said, then what happened in Medina? They said, Marwan ibn al-Hakam is complaining against Ali and he's saying, إن لم تكن قتلت. He's accusing Ali ibn Abi Talib with the murder of Uthman. He said, how come, Amr ibn al-As? They said, because Marwan said to Ali, إن لم تكن قتلت فقد آويت القاتلين. If you did not kill Uthman, you are sheltering the killers of Uthman. So Amr ibn al-As became convinced that Ali is on the wrong side, because the murders of Uthman ibn Affan are in his army. And they are under his protection. And that was the thinking of Amr ibn al-As. So he got his two sons, and he had Muhammad and Abdullah. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As is a scholar of this ummah. He's one, as we said, of the Abadila, the main scholars of Islam. So he said to his sons, give me advice, what should I do? Muhammad said to him, his son, he said, this is a major affair of the Muslims. And you are one of the Sahaba. You are one of the main Sahaba. And you should have a say, and you should have a position in what goes on. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, you sit down in your house and you leave this fitna and you do not get involved in this major conflict. So he listened to both of them and he took the opinion of Muhammad. And then he said, I will not go to Ali, because he thinks Ali is protecting the killers of Uthman. And he said, Ali will not make me of any importance to him. Ali will not counsel with me. Ali will not, but I will go to Muawiyah. Because they both are from the same clan of Umayyah, and he thinks that Muawiyah was on the right path by calling for the revenge against the killers of Uthman. So Amr ibn al-As became the main Sahabi that joined ranks with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. As we said, the position of Muawiyah was a complete refusal to follow Ali before all those who participated in the revolution against Uthman ibn Affan are executed. They are estimated to be about 2,500. And we saw what happened when that was under application in Al-Basra, after the events of Al-Basra. Ali refused to kill or surrender those rebels for separate reasons. Number one, not all the rebels are actually involved in the murder plot itself. Like Ammar ibn Yasir was with the rebels that came out of Egypt. But Ammar ibn Yasir was the one trying to get the water to Uthman ibn Affan. He was trying to break the siege against Uthman ibn Affan. He had nothing to do with the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. But yet he was in opposition. He was a critic of Uthman's radiallahu anhu policy in the Muslim Ummah. But those people wanted also Ammar ibn Yasir to be killed as part of the rebellion. Then there has to be just and fair trials to take place for those murders, in the opinion of Ali, who was one of the qudah, who was one of the judges of this Islamic Ummah. And then, as we know, Ali decided that the Khilafah has to be restored first. The Khalifa has to restore order, then deliver justice according to the Islamic Sharia. We saw how Amr ibn al-As joined Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and also another emir joined Muawiyah, which was Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh. When Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh was the successor of Amr ibn al-As in Egypt, he was also from the clan of Umayyah, and also joined Muawiyah in calling for the blood of Uthman ibn Affan. Then, as we said, Surahbil ibn Samt called that Muawiyah is to become a Khalifa, and Muawiyah received Bay'ah in Asham, and Ali saw that then dividing this Muslim Ummah is actually worse fitna than the murder of Uthman ibn Affan, and he decides to move his army to Asham to restore order and unity. Ali now has the people that came from Medina with him, has the people of Al-Kufa, and has the new soldiers of Al-Basra that gave him bay'ah after the battle of Al-Jamal. And Ali now has the largest Muslim army that he can gather together, and it was 120,000 fighters, is what Ali radiallahu anhu had. And he moved along the Euphrates River to Asham. Now, geography is somewhat important here, because Ali didn't go across the desert. We know the only person that went across the desert fast was Khalid ibn al-Walid and his army. Ali took the longer route, but it goes actually into north Syria. And he went along the Euphrates River with 120,000 fighters and trying to restore order into this ummah and trying to call Muawiyah to surrender and submit to the authority of Al-Khilaf. Now, in that, Ali ibn Abi Talib is using two things. He's using the wisdom and the way of call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he is using the threat of force, obviously, by moving a very large army right into Muawiyah's territory. First thing that he did is he wants to send messengers to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. First thing is to call Muawiyah to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the submission for the Khalifa of Islam. So he sent a man called Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bujali. Jarir ibn Abdullah is a Sahabi. Is a Sahabi that is narrated in the hadith that one time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his masjid, and he was with his Sahaba, and he said to them, يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ هُوَ خَيْرُ أَهْلِ الْيَمَنِ. He said, a man will walk into the masjid, he is one of the people of paradise, and he is the best Yemeni. He is the best man of Yemen. So that man comes in, and that was Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bujali, who was with Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that man is the man that Ali chose to send to talk to Muawiyah. And the reason is Jarir was a friend of Muawiyah. So see the wisdom of Ali. I mean, he wants to bring someone nicely. He sent him his friend. And Jarir was a friend for Muawiyah, and he was a great Sahabi, so he chose Jarir to send to him. Jarir went to Asham, went to Dimashq to negotiate with Muawiyah. And the historian has reported that Matalahu was Tanzara. Muawiyah did not meet him till after several days. Muawiyah was known for not rushing. Muawiyah is a thinker, and he is one of the shrewdest people in Arabia. They were known as Duhat al-Arab, the shrewd people of Arabia, and he was one of them. So he sent, he made him wait, and then he meets with him, and then he asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "I'm coming for the bay'ah." He said, "I have men that have vowed not to touch water, meaning not to come to their families until they revenge for the blood of Uthman. If you bring us the killers of Uthman, then you will take our bay'ah. Deliver the killers of Uthman, and you will get our bay'ah." So Jarir went back to Ali and told him, this is the reply, this is how Muawiyah answered. So Al-Ashtar al-Nukhai, who was one of the rebels against Uthman, but he was one of the very important military people in the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he would actually play a major role in the upcoming events, got angry. He said, "It is all Jarir's fault." He said, "This man, if you send me, it would be better than sending this man, Jarir." Now, Jarir is a Sahabi, and Al-Ashtar is not, I mean, he's not in the same rank like Jarir. So Jarir told Al-Ashtar, he started arguing in front of Ali. He said, "لو ذهبت أنت لقتلوك بدم عثمان." He said, "You are one of the rebels. If you went there to Muawiyah, you would not come back with your head on your neck. They would kill you because you're one of the people they want killed." And they started having conflict in front of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Jarir got angry and he left the camp of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that was one of the things that Ali lost during that particular correspondence between him and Muawiyah. Then what happened is Ali camped in a valley between two cities in Syria today, one of them called Ar-Raqqa, which is at the close to the Euphrates River, and the other city is Halab, is Aleppo. So there between them there is a big valley. It's a huge area called Siffin, the valley of Siffin in northern Syria. And Ali camped there. Muawiyah was in Dimashq. He was in Damascus, and he started counseling there. He has to face this head on. And he decided to send an army to face the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Amr ibn al-As said, "You have to go yourself with this army, because Ali is coming to you himself with his army. So you have to go out yourself to meet Ali in Siffin." And Muawiyah moved with an army of 90,000 fighters of Asham that were loyal to him into the valley of Siffin. Into the valley of Siffin. And that was in Dhul-Hijjah of the 36th year after Al-Hijrah. When the two armies faced off, there was, and you can imagine the scene, this is almost unheard of. We know how many thousands of fighters involved in this battle and that battle, but never, ever, you had about 200,000 Muslim fighters facing off in one area, but not against an enemy. They are facing off against each other. So Ali ibn Abi Talib did not give up, radiallahu anh, on talk, on trying to convince Muawiyah before any bloodshed in the valley of Siffin. So he sent three messengers to go. Now the two armies are facing off in Siffin, but Ali did not want the fighting to start, and this was Dhul-Hijjah. So he sent three messengers to Muawiyah, and those were Bashir ibn Amr al-Ansari, and Shabath ibn Rub'i, and Sa'id ibn Qais. Bashir ibn Amr was a Sahabi, and he was a wise, gentle man, and he started talking to Muawiyah. And he said, "Ya Muawiyah, inna dunya anka za'ila, wa innaka raji'an ila al-akhir, وإن الله محاسبك بعملك وجازيك بما قدمت يداك. He started reminding Muawiyah of al-akhirah, of the hereafter. He said, this life is only a short period. If this fighting is for justice, then we are to talk justice. But if you are fighting for dunya, if you are fighting for the title of Khalifa, then this is a temporary thing. And you will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be responsible for the upcoming events. وَإِنِّي أُنْشِدُكَ اللَّهِ I ask you by Allah أَنْ لَا تُفَرِّقَ جَمَاعَةَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَأَنْ تَسْفِكَ دِمَاءَهَا I ask you not to disunite this ummah and shed the blood of Muslims. Muawiyah said, هَلَّا أُصَيْتَ صَاحِبَكَ بِذَلِكَ Why don't you tell your friend? Why don't you tell Ali not to do that? He said, Ali is the one who is splitting this ummah and he's making the bloodshed. He started putting the accusation of Ali. Then this man, Bashir, said, إِنَّ صَاحِبِي لَيْسَ مِثْلَكَ My friend is not like you. إِنَّ صَاحِبِي أَحَقَّ الْبَرِيَّةِ كُلِّهَا بِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ He said, my friend Ali, meaning, is the most worthy of khilafah of all people. I mean, we know the Ashab al-Shura, the people of al-Shura, there's nobody left but Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who did not want to get involved, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. These are the only two Sahaba that are left of the people of al-Shura, and of course, Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, لَهُمْ فَضْلُ وَالدِّينُ وَالسَّابِقَةُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ He has advantage over you in his religion and his advance in Islam. وَالْقَرَابَةُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ And his kin to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then said, فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا Then what does he say? Muawiyah is asking. He said, يَأْمُرُكَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَإِجَابَةِ ابْنِ عَمِّكَ إِلَى مَا يَدْعُوكَ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ فَإِنَّهُ أَسْلَمُ لَكَ فِي دُنْيَاكَ وَخَيْرٌ لَكَ فِي عَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِكَ Beautiful words. He said, your cousin, he's reminding him, who are you going to fight? Who are you going to kill? This is your cousin, aren't you? They're both from the tribe of Quraysh. He said, he calls you to al-haq, to the truth, to the right thing, which is better for you in this dunya, more safety in this dunya, and better for you in the hereafter. Muawiyah said, وَنَطْلِ دَمَ عُثْمَانِ لَا وَاللَّهِ لَا أَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ أَبَدًا And the blood of Uthman goes astray. Wallahi, I will not do this. So Shabath, the other messenger of Ali, got angry. And this is what anger does to people, and it can ruin the entire negotiation, subhanAllah. Shabath said, يَا مُعَاوِيَ إِنِّي فَهِمْتُ مَا رَدَدْتَ لَهُ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْنَا مَا تَغْزُ وَتَطْلُبُ He said, Muawiyah, I understand what you're trying to do here. He got angry with Muawiyah. He got rude with Muawiyah. Now, Muawiyah is an emir, and this man is not. I mean, there is also, you have to respect the position of people in Islam. And the first man, which is Bashir ibn Amr, was giving Muawiyah his respect and what is his worth. But this man got very angry, and he started getting rude with Muawiyah, which would lead him nowhere. He said, I know your hidden agenda in a way. إنك لن تجد شيئا تستغي به الناس وتستميل به أهواءهم وتستخلص به طاعتهم إلا قولك قتل إمامكم مظلوما He said, this is only a trick from you that you want to get the obedience of people and you get the loyalty of people. Did you say Uthman was killed and he was wronged? So we have to retaliate for his blood. وقد علمنا أنك أبطأت عنه بالنصر He said, he was killed because of you, because you didn't support him, you didn't send him soldiers. وأحببت له القتل. You wanted him killed. You wanted this fitna to start. لهذه المنزلة التي أصبحت تطلب because you want to be a خليفة. ورب متمني أمر وطالبه الله يحول بينه بقدرته. He said that Allah سبحانه وتعالى will not grant you this wish that you will want to be a خليفة. And he said, ولئن أصبت ما تمنى and but if you become what you want to become, لا تصيبه حتى تستحل من ربك صلى النار. You will get to the hellfire because of what you are going to do. And he said, فَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا مُعَاوِيَ وَدَعْمَ أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا تُنَازِعِ الْأَمْرَ أَهْلَهِ Then, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ Have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave this position that you are taking and do not have the conflict with the people that deserve the matter of khilaf. So Muawiyah said, you all go out. These negotiations are over. He said, انصرفوا عني. He stopped the negotiation. Now things were going a little rough, but they were going. But then when this man became rude and angry with Muawiyah and he started accusing him of things that some of it were true but some of it were not, then Muawiyah cut the negotiation short. So the two armies in the valley of Siffin started having some skirmishes. There were no ongoing, there were no major fighting in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And Ali ibn Abi Talib hated the fight. He did not want an all-out battle, an all-out war to start. And he tried to give the negotiation some time to work. So they started negotiating and then skirmishes going on in the month of Dhul-Hijjah until the first of Muharram came. When the first of Muharram is what? It's the Shahr Haram. So Ali sent to Muawiyah, he said, we should have a truce during the month of Muharram. And the Muawiyah responded positively and they stopped all skirmishes, all fighting during the entire month of Muharram. During that time, Ali's ambitions were, radiallahu anhu, trying to mend, to get some bridges, to get the talks starting again with Muawiyah, to trying to bring him back to this ummah. So he sent them three more people. He sent them Adi ibn Amr and Yazid ibn Qais and Shabath ibn Rab'i. Unfortunately, and history scholars don't know why it happened, he sent the same man that got angry with Muawiyah the first time with the second group of messengers, and that was the ordain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Adi started, he said, Adi started the talk, and he was the chief of those messengers, the chief of that delegation, if you will. Ali said to Muawiyah, إِنَّ أَتَيْنَاكَ نَدْعُوكَ إِلَى أَمْرٍ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ كَلِمَتَنَا وَأُمَّتَنَا وَيَحْقِنُ بِهِ الدِّمَاءُ وَيُصْلِحُ بِهِ ذَاتَ الْبَيْنِ. He said, we came to you asking for sulh, to unite this ummah. إِنَّ ابْنَ عَمِّكَ سَيِّدُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَفْضَلُهَا سَابِقَ وَأَحْسَنُهَا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَثَرًا. He said, your cousin Ali, always started talking to him with wisdom and reminding him that Ali is actually a cousin of his, the same Muslim family. وَقَدْ اسْتَجْمَعَ لَهُ النَّاسِ. He is one of the best Muslims that is on walk in the face of the earth at that time. And people have gathered under his banner. Because he, as you see, he is the Khalifa over everything except for what is under Muawiyah. وَقَدْ أَرْشَدَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالَّذِي رَأُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them to what they are doing. Meaning that they are not retaliating against the killers of Uthman because of the guided opinion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَبْقَى أَحَدٌ غَيْرَكَ. And you are the only one who is not obeying these the orders of Ali radiallahu anhu. Then he said, فَانْتَهِي يَا مُعَاوِيَةَ. Stop يَا مُعَاوِيَةَ. Stop this ignorance. لَا يُصِيبُكَ اللَّهُ بِأَصْحَابِكَ بِيَوْمٍ كَيَوْمٍ جَمَلٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hit you and your friends with a day like the day of camel, like the battle of camel. So Muawiyah got angry again. He said, لَعَلَّكَ كَأَنَّكَ جِئْتَ مُتَهَدِّدًا. Are you coming to threaten me? Are you coming to threaten me with the day like the day of camel? هَيْهَاتَ يَا عَدِي. No, Adi, this is not going to happen. وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَبْنُ حَرْبٍ. I'm a man of war. مَا يُقَعْقَعُ لِي بِالشِّنَانِ. You don't scare me with your spears. وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُقَلِّبِينَ عَلَى عُثْمَانِ. And I know you are one of the rebels against Uthman. وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنْ قَتَلَتُ. And you are one of the people that I want killed. You are one of the killers of Uthman. وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَن تَكُونَ مِمَّنْ يَقْتُلُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. He said, I ask that Allah you become, make you Adi, is one of the people to be killed. Then the other people said, أَتَيْنَاكَ فِيمَا يُصْلِحُنَا وَإِيَّاكَ. We came for peace. فَأَقْبَلْتَ تَضْرِبُ لَنَا الْأَمْثَالِ. And here you are giving us proverbs and poetry and other things. دَعْ مَا لَا يَنْتَفِعْ بِهِ الْقَوْلِ إِلَى مَا يُنْفَعْ بِهِ. Give us something of benefit. Don't just start to agitate things. And they said, إِنَّ صَاحِبَنَا مَنْ عَرَفْتُ وَلَا. They started promoting Ali, just saying Ali is one of the most righteous people. You know that Ali is on the right path. You know who is Ali is. Muawiyah said, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّكُمْ دَعَوْتُمْ إِلَى الطَّاعَةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. You are calling me for two things. He said, I understand your call. الطَّاعَة, you want me to obey. You're calling me for obedience for Ali. And الجَمَاعَة, the unity of the Muslim Ummah. He said, أَمَّا الطَّاعَ فَصَاحِبُكُمْ فَإِنَّ لَنَرَاهَا. Obedience for Ali is not something that I will accept. فإن صاحبكم وعد فإن صاحبكم قتل خليفتنا. علي murdered our خليفة. علي, he is accusing Ali of being a cause for the killing of Uthman. وفرق جماعتنا وآوى ثأرنا وقتلتنا وصاحبكم يزعم أنه لم يقتله فنحن لا نرد عليه ذلك. He said he protecting those killers and the rebels against Uthman. And he is claiming that he didn't kill Uthman. We will accept that claim. We will accept that he didn't kill Uthman. He said, أَلَسْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ صَاحِبُكُمْ فَلْيَدْفَعْهُمْ إِلَيْنَا فَلْنَقْتِلْهُمْ بِهِ ثُمَّ نُجِيبُكُمْ إِلَى الطَّاعَةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. He said, let him send those rebels to me. I will kill them, then I will respond to him for the ta'ah, for the obedience and jama'ah, and the unity of ummah. So Shabath, this man, calmed down a little bit. He said, أَيَسُرُّكَ يَا مُعَاوِيَةَ أَنَّكَ أَمْكَنْتَ مِنْ عَمَّارَ تَقْتُلُهُ. He said, if I give you the head of Ammar ibn Yasir, will you kill him? That's one of the people they're calling. He said, Muawiyah said, وَمَا يَمْنَعْنِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ. What prevents me from killing Ammar? وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَمْكَنْتُ مِنْ ابْنِ سُمَيَّةَ مَا قَتَلْتُهُ بِعُثْمَانِ وَلَكِنْ قَاتِلُهُ بِنَائِ الْمَوْلَى عُثْمَانِ. He said, Ibn Sumayyah, and this is somewhat of a derogatory when somebody calls actually, this is relics of al-Jahiliyyah. To call somebody with his mother's name is some kind of an insult. And he said, if I bring the son of Sumayyah, and actually if anybody has pride to be called with his mother's name would be Ammar, because Sumayyah is the first martyr in Islam. I mean, who wouldn't want to be called son of Sumayyah? But he was trying to make it a derogatory term. He said, if I get Ibn Sumayyah, I would kill him with the servants of Uthman, not only with the blood of Uthman. Shabath then got angry again and started getting rude with Muawiyah again. He said, لا تصل إلى عمار حتى تندر الكلام عن الكواحل. He said, والله, he will not get to عمار until the heads get off the necks. We will defend عمار until we are dead. Muawiyah said, you leave again. He said, he kicked them out of his majlis again, and it was going nowhere, this negotiation. Muawiyah sends messengers to Ali. Obviously, both sides is trying to avoid, I mean, this is, you have 200,000 fighters facing each other. This is going to be a major battle. So he sent Habib ibn Maslama, and he sent Shurahbil ibn Samad, the man that called for Muawiyah to be a khalifa. Then they went to meet Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Habib said, أما بعد فإن عثمان كان خليفة مهدية. Uthman was a righteous, guided خليفة. ومن الخلفاء الراشدين. يعمل بكتاب الله عز وجل وينيب إلى أمره. He worked with the book of Allah and he responded to the orders of Allah. فاستثقلتم حياته واستبطأتم وفاته. He said he was an old man and it became like it's too long for you to wait for his death. فعدوتم عليه فقتلتموه. He said, you killed Uthman ibn Affan. فادفع إلينا قتلة عثمان إن زعمت أنك لم تقتله فنقتلهم ثم اعتزل أمر الناس. He said, we want two things from you now. Ya Ali, we want you to give us the killers of Uthman and we want you to step down as a khalifa. ودع الأمر شورى. Let the people re-elect their khalifa, because they are not recognizing the first bay'ah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Shurahbil ibn Samad, Ali looked at the other man, Shurahbil. He said, do you have anything else to say? Shurahbil, I'm on the same opinion. You have to give us the killers of Uthman, and you step down. So Ali ibn Abi Talib told them and gave him this small speech that is well recorded in history. Hamad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa athna alayhi. Then he said, we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passed away and went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واستخلف الناس أبا بكر, and then Abu Bakr became a khalifa. واستخلف أبو بكر عمر فأحسن السيرة وعدل في الأمة. Then Abu Bakr and Umar made justice and they had good course in their government of this ummah. وولى الناس عثمان. Then Uthman came to this ummah. فعمل أشياء. He did things. عابها الناس عليه. Some people had problems with what he did. We studied all of that. فساروا إليه فقتلوا. They came to him and they killed him. ثم أتاني الناس وأنا معتزل أمورهم. People came to me and I was in isolation of their affairs. فَقَالُوا لِي بَايِعْ. They said, take the bay'ah. فَأَبَيْتْ. I refused. فَقَالُوا لِي بَايِعْ. فَإِنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَا تَرْضَى إِلَّا بِكْ. They said, you have to take bay'ah because people will not accept anybody but you. وَإِنَّ نَخَافُ أَن تَفْعَلْ. If you don't do it, أَن يَفْتَرِقَ النَّاسِ. People will disunite. فَبَايَعْتُهُمْ. Then I received the bay'ah. He's telling them how he became a khalifa. فَلَمْ يَرُعْنِي إِلَّا شِقَاقَ رَجُلَيْنِ قَدْ بَايَعَانِ. And what's, what only thing that bothered me after that is the conflict with two people that already gave me the bay'ah, meaning Talha رضي الله عنه and Zubair ibn al-Awwam. وَخِلَافُ مُعَاوِيَةِ. And the secession of Muawiyah. الَّذِي لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ اللَّهُ سَابِقَةً فِي الدِّينِ وَلَا سَلَفَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ طَلِيقٌ ابْنُ طَلِيقٍ. He said, then this Muawiyah came up. And he is not of the advanced Sahaba. And he is not of the people that were close to the Rasul. He is not an Ansari and he is not a Muhajir. He is a Taliq. What is the Taliq? Taliq are those people who embraced Islam after the conquest of Mecca. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he pardoned them, he said, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. أنتم الطلقاء. You are the freed. So he said, he was one of the freed one after the conquest of Mecca. And in Quran, لا يستوي منكم من قاتل من أنفق من لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. Allah made the conquest of Mecca is a landmark. The people who joined Islam before the conquest of Mecca has a higher rank than those who have joined Islam after the conquest of Mecca by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, he is a freedman, son of a freedman. He is a Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. They're both tulaqa. لَمْ يَزَلِ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُسْلِمِينَ عَدُوًا هُوَ وَأَبُوهُ حَتَّى دَخَلَا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ كَارِهَيْنِ فَلَا غَرْوَى لَا إِلْإِخْلَافِكُمْ مَعَهُ وَانْقِيَادِكُمْ لَهُ. He said, why are you following this man and following his leadership? وَتَبَعُونَ آلَ نَبِيِّكُمْ. And you're leaving the family of your prophet, meaning himself and the people with him. الَّذِينَ لَا يَنْبَغِي لَكُمْ شِقَاقُهُمْ وَلَا خِلَافُهُمْ وَأَلَّا تَعُودُوا بِهِمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَحَدًا. He said, the people of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the ones that you should follow. أَلَا إِنْ يَدْعُوكُمْ. He said, I will call upon you. إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ. I'll call to you to the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وإماتة الباطل وإحياء معالم الدين. And to live and to live the life of this religion. So Shurahbil, what can he answer for something like this? He said, أشهد أن عثمان قتل مظلوما. Make testimony that Uthman is killed مظلوم. Ali said, إنك لا تسمع الموتى ولا تسمع الصم الدعاء. Don't restart this conflict about, we are trying to unite this ummah, and he is trying to provoke this issue of Uthman ibn Affan. And as we said, Ali sees in the disunity and the division is a much worse affair than the kill or the murder of Uthman. He said, as if I'm talking to dead people. وَلَإِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءَ. And the deaf cannot hear your calling. إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ وما أنت بهادي العمي عن ضلالتهم إن تسمع إلا من يؤمن بآياتنا فهم مسلمون. He recited that verse that you cannot call the blind in the heart, but you only will make those who believe hear and heed your call. And that was what's going on in the month of Al-Muharram. The entire month of Al-Muharram there was no fighting, but there was negotiation, but these negotiations were going nowhere. Then after that, Ali, when Muharram finished, Ali sends a very clear message to the camp of Muawiyah. إِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَقُولُ لَكُمْ. Now, he is calling himself Amir al-Mu'mineen for them. إِنِّي قَدْ إِسْتَدَمْتُكُمْ لِتُرَاجِعُ الْحَقِّ. I'm calling you to go back to the right path. وَاحْتَجَجْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. And the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my guide. فَدَعَوْتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُنَاهُ عَنْ طُغْيَانٍ وَلَمْ تُجِيبُوا إِلَى حَقٍّ. But you did not respond to the rights. وَأَنِّي قَدْ نَبَذْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ عَلَى سَوَاءٍ. And I will start the fighting all out if you don't respond. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْخَائِنِينَ. I mean, he cannot stand there forever, and this is not going anywhere. And he started getting the army ready for an all-out battle against the army of Muawiyah. And then he went out and he started getting the army ready, and here's his speech to the army. Listen to this and know who Ali is. He said, لا تقاتلوهم حتى يقاتلوكم. Do not fight them until they fight you. فأنتم على حجة. You are on the right path. وتركهم حتى يقاتلوكم حجة أخرى. But if you leave them, so they will fight you first. This is another thing you take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. فَإِذَا هَزَمْتُمُوهُمْ And when you defeat them, فَلَا تَقْتُلُوا مُدْبِرًا Don't kill anybody who's fleeing away. وَلَا تُجْهِزُوا عَلَى جَرِيحٍ Do not kill a wounded person. وَلَا تَكْشُفُوا عَوْرًا Don't expose anyone on the battlefield. وَلَا تُمَثِّلُوا بِقَتِيلٍ Do not disfigure any of the killed one. وَإِذَا وَصَلْتُمْ إِلَى رِحَالِ الْقَوْمِ And when you get to their camp, to their headquarters, فَلَا تَهْتِكُوا سِتْرًا Do not unveil, do not expose any of the tents, do not go into their women. If they have hidden any of the wounded people, do not go into the tents. وَلَا تَدْخُلُوا دَارًا And don't walk into any houses. وَلَا تَأْخُذُوا شَيْئًا مِنْ أَمْوَالِكُمْ You cannot take any of the booties, the spoils of the war. وَلَا تُهَيِّجُوا امْرَأَةً And do not provoke any of their women. وَإِنْ شَتَمْنَا أَعْرَاضَكُمْ Even if they curse you. وَسَبَبْنَا أُمَرَاءَكُمْ Even if they curse your leaders. That means even if they curse Ali, do not provoke them. فَإِنَّهُمْ ضُعَافُ الْقُوَى وَالْأَنْفُسِ Because they are weak in their strength and they are weak in their souls to follow Muawiyah to this side. And then on Wednesday, on the first of Safar, that is the first day after Muharram, on the 37th year of Hijrah, of course, with Muharram starts a new year, the fighting starts in the Valley of Siffin. And for the first fighting was also slow, was one group of the army of Ali against another small group with the army of Muawiyah. And then Ali thought that this is also not going to take anywhere. So what happened on the eighth day of this battle, on this, the eighth day, which is the next Wednesday, the eighth of Safar, Ali decided to make an all-out battle, and he started the major battle of Siffin on the eighth of Safar of the 37th year of Hijrah. But the armies been facing each other for more than 2 months in that valley without really serious fighting. And in that fighting started, and that was one of the bloodiest battle that the Muslim knew in their history, that started on that ugly day of Wednesday, the 8th of Safar, on the 37th year of Hijrah. And the fighting was very vicious, and the two armies were watching each other and were trying to make this a final battle, because this is either one of the teams have to be victorious in this battle. And the one important person in that battle that both groups were watching was Ammar ibn Yasir. The reason being that there is a prophecy from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that prophecy happened on the day of Al-Khandaq. On the day when the people were digging the trench with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ghazwat al-Ahzab, everybody would carry a stone or a brick, except Ammar ibn Yasir, who was in his 50s then. And he would carry two stones and two bricks. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at him and he smiles and he gives that prophecy that all the Sahaba remember very well. He said, وَيْحَ عَمَّارِ تَقْتُلُهُ الْفِئَةُ الْبَاغِيَةُ O Ammar, he will be killed by the oppressing group. The group which is a transgressor and oppressor. So the army of Hisham finds Ammar in the opposition, in the camp of Ali. So they go to their emir, Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As, and they said, Ammar is with them. Are we the fi'al baghiya? Are we the oppressor? He said, Ammar is not dead yet. We don't know what's going to happen. Ammar bin so many battles, and he may change position. He may come to us. Don't rush to judgment. This is not something that we know is going to happen. Ammar is not dead. And Ammar had another prophecy from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And that prophecy that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time saw him drinking milk. And he said, Ammar, the last thing you will drink is milk, is a cup of milk in your life. So on that day, Ammar ibn Yasir was about to get ready to go in the fighting. And a man saw him and he said, Ammar, I brought you something. And he gives him a cup of milk. He said, go take this, it'll make you stronger during the fighting. And Ammar smiles. And he started drinking the milk and he said, وَطَرَبَهْ وَطَرَبَهْ الْيَوْمَ نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَصَحْبَهُ. He said, today I will meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi. And he knew that this is the sign that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you would be on a battlefield and you will be killed and the last thing you will drink is a cup of milk. مُذْقَةَ لَبَن. So he drinks the milk and he goes into the battle and Ammar ibn Yasir was killed in that particular day in Siffin. When Ammar was killed, fighting stopped. The army of Hisham was stunned. Now, what are they going to say? I mean, here is Ammar and they are the oppressing group. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So they run to Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As. And he said, قَتَلْنَا Ammar. We killed Ammar ibn Yasir. He said, no, you didn't kill him. The one that killed him is the one that brought him here. If he hadn't been brought here, then he wouldn't be killed. He said, قَتَلَهُ مَنْ أَخْرَجَهُ. See, and so they are the oppressing. They are the wrong party.
That's the spin.
We have a lot of spin doctors, subhanAllah, in these times, but it started then. And of those most shrewd people of Arabia, two of them were the three shrewd people, they're all from Umayyah. They are Amr ibn al-As, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan. These were known of their shrewdness, their intelligence, their great politicians. So they knew how to spin things around very well. So the people of Hisham continued the fighting against the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then people asked Muawiyah, they said, why don't you go and fight Ali yourself? Ali was calling for Muawiyah. He said, let's settle it between you and me. Come out, instead of shedding all that blood, why don't you come out and we will fight each other? Muawiyah did not respond. At that time, there was a duel between a Mawla of Ali. Mawla is a freed servant, a freed slave of Ali. And another person from Muawiyah. And the Muawiyah servant kills the Mawla of Ali. So Ali steps in into the fight and he hits that man and then he takes him by his shield and then he brings him down on his head and he knocks his head and he kills him right there on the spot. Muawiyah looks at Amr ibn al-As, he said, do you want me to go fight this man? Nobody can fight Ali ibn Abi Talib. I mean, he's one of the people that you cannot just kill face to face, like Zubair ibn al-Awwam, like Khalid ibn al-Walid. These were fighters that you either kill him from the back, or you have no business attacking them. He said, la wallahi la yuqatilu, wallahi I will not. I will not fight him. So Muawiyah refused. Al-Ashtar al-Nukhai, who was one of the leaders of Ali, he was a very fierce, very strong fighter. And he, Ali, depended on his leadership for the right hand of the army. And he saw that Muawiyah had four small groups to protect him from the advance of the army of Ali. So Ashtar went with his group and he's starting, cut the first one and he wiped him out. Went into the second one and wiped him out. And went into the third group and Muawiyah started thinking about fleeing. And he turned to Amr. And he said, it's over. We're done. I mean, it's only that one last group of bodyguards and the head of Muawiyah will be flying. It's over. So Amr ibn al-As said, I have something to do. And Muawiyah said, what do you do? He said, bring the masahif, bring the books, bring the Quran. Lift them on the spears. Let the army of Ali see that we are raising the Mus'haf. Muawiyah said, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنَّ ذَٰلِكَ شَيْئًا. What is that going to do? He said, just do it. يُفَرِّقُهُمْ. It will split them. Just do what I'm telling you. It will confuse them. So it comes this major trick of the what is called al-Quran على المصاحف على الرماح. They started lifting, putting this the Quran on the spear and lifting it up. So the army of Ali, instead of seeing the banners of fighting, they're seeing masahif now. They're seeing Quran. So they said, "What do you want?" They said, "Hakim al-Quran, make judgment to the Quran. Why are you killing us for?" They want, "What are you killing us? We are people of Quran. We are people of Islam." Al-Ashtar wouldn't stop for nothing. Al-Ashtar is one of the people that is very strong ally to Ali, but he is also a rebel. Just he doesn't want to stop. So people of Al-Iraq, the people of Al-Kufa and Al-Basra stopped fighting. Al-Ashtar is going. They went to Ali. They said, "Ali, they are lifting the masahif." Ali said, "Ya ibadallah, imdu ala haqqikum wa siddiqikum." Go on, you are on the right path. Don't stop the fighting. Inna Muawiyah wa Amr ibn al-As, etc. They are laysu bi ashabi deenin wala Qur'an. He said, "These people are not people of deen or Qur'an. I know them." He said, "Ana a'rafu bihim minkum. Waqad sahittuhum atfalan. Wasahittuhum rijalan. Fakanu sharra atfalan wa sharra rijal." He said, "I know these people since they were kids. And they were bad kids, and now they are bad men. Go on. Continue fighting them. This is a trick." وَيْحَكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَا رَفَعُوهَا ثُمَّ لَا يَرْفَعُونَهَا وَمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مَا بِهَا. He said, they lift the masahif. They take it up, but they don't do what's in it. They don't follow the guidance of these masahif. مَا رَفَعُوهَا لَكُمْ إِلَّا خَدِيعَ وَدَهَاءَ وَمَكِيدَ. He said, this is a trick. This is a plot against you. Go on fighting. And then they said, مَا يَسَعُنَا أَن نُدْعَى إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَنَأْبَى. They said, they are calling upon us to the book of Allah. How can we refuse? So what Amr ibn al-As has thought is right, is at least we'll divide them. See, Al-Ashtar would go on in his fighting. But now he doesn't have many people with him. The people of Al-Iraq stopped. The close people around Ali want to go and continue the fighting. And then Mus'ar ibn Fadki, then some group, another group that they thought they know more about Quran than Ali ibn Abi Talib, and we will study that inshallah at length next time, and they will be called Al-Khawarij. They said, "If you don't follow Quran, we will kill you." That to Ali. So Ali said that this is a fitna now inside his army is going to start killing each other now in the heat of the battle against the army of Muawiyah. The army of Ali now started threatening each other. "If you don't stop, we will start killing you." So Ali said, ask the Ashtar to stop. Ashtar would not stop. So he sent them another person. He said, "Ali is ordering you to stop." So Al-Ashtar stopped fighting and doesn't get to Muawiyah. Then Ali said, "Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil." I mean, this is what happened. This is a fitna inside his army. So he sent Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais to Muawiyah. Said, "Go ask Muawiyah, what is this deal with this masahif? Let's see what they have." Muawiyah said, "Narji'u nahnu wa antum ila ma amara Allahu fi kitabih." He said, "We go back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered in his book. تَبْعَثُونَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلًا تَرْضُونَهُ وَنَبْعَثُ مِنَّا رَجُلًا مَرْضَاهُ ثُمَّ نَأْخُذُ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يَعْمَلَا بِمَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نَتَّبِعُ مَا اتَّفَقْنَا عَلَيْهِ." Ali Muawiyah said, "You send us a judge, you send us a man that you accept, and we send you a man that we accept, and they work their judgment and their ruling according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Al-Ash'ath liked this idea, Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais, although he was one of the people with Ali. He said, "Wallahi hadha al-haq qabilna," we accept it. Not even before he asked Ali. Ali is the leader of the army. But Al-Ash'ath said, "Yeah, this is good, we accept this." So he goes back to Ali. This is what fitna does. This is what the word fitna. It's a major chaos in the souls and in the actions. So he came to Ali. And people said, "Well, yeah, we accept this." The majority of the people with Ali accepted. So say, subhanAllah. The people of Al-Sham said, "We chose Amr ibn al-As as our representative in this judgment." Ali said, "Let's choose one." Al-Ash'ath said, "We want Abu Musa al-Ash'ari." Why Abu Musa al-Ash'ari? Who were most of the people with Ali? The people of Al-Kufa. Who was the governor of Al-Kufa that people have most loyalty to? It's Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. They said, we trust Abu Musa, we want Abu Musa. Ali said, no, wait a minute. I mean, Abu Musa is a very righteous person. He's a great Amir and he's a Sahabi Jalil. There is no thing against it, but not, you have to put the right person at the right position. He said, I want Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he's known for his hujjah, for his argument, for his skills. He said, I want Abdullah ibn Abbas. They said, no, Abdullah is your cousin. He's one of you. Amr ibn al-As is a cousin of Muawiyah. Why you can't get his cousin, I can't get mine? They said, لا نرضى إلا أبو موسى. This is what we talked about early, in, is how the people of Iraq, and I don't mean the people of Iraq today, obviously. At that time, the people that were people of arguments and conflicts, and they were not united. And that's what split the army of Ali right in front of his eye at the moment of victory in the Battle of Siffin. So he said, fine, you go ahead and take Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais come to Ali. He said, Ya Ali, Abu Musa is not well equipped for this position. Abu Musa is not the right man for this situation. I mean, this is to rule over the Ummah. Abu Musa is a righteous, he's a scholar of Quran. There's nothing against the character of Abu Musa. But he doesn't have the skills that Amr ibn al-As has. And Ali said, غَلَبَنِ النَّاسِ. People overcame me. Al-Ahnaf said, made me a second judge. Let me go with him. Let some other people go with him. They said the agreement was to send two people. So they start down and they write what is known in history as Aqd al-Tahkim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They started writing. هذا ما تقاضى عليه علي أمير المؤمنين. Ali started dictating the agreement of Tahkim. Said, this is what Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, agreed upon with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Amr ibn al-As said, wait a minute. No. If we think you are Amir al-Mu'mineen, we wouldn't be on this battlefield. We don't recognize that you are Amir al-Mu'mineen. The Khawarij, the people, they were not Khawarij yet, but people start angry. Wallahi, innahu amir al-mu'mineen. Wallahi, he is amir al-mu'mineen. What does that remind you of, this position? Remember al-Hudaybiyah? The prophets, who was writing the contract of al-Hudaybiyah? Ali was writing the contract of al-Hudaybiyah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Suhail ibn Amr said, erase Muhammad Rasulullah. We don't recognize Muhammad as Rasulullah, right? Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali refused to wipe it out. Right. Ali said, I wouldn't do it. He is Rasulullah. Why do you say he is not Rasulullah? Rasulullah himself said, show me where it is. Because Rasulullah doesn't read. And he wiped it himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali learned that lesson from Rasulullah. Ali is a very good student of the Prophet. So he knows that's the right thing to do, is to wipe it out. Because, you know, if people don't recognize your authority and you are getting a deal that will bring peace, then you do whatever you can do. So that's another conflict in Ali's camp. People say, Wallahi la tamkhuha. Wallahi, it will not be erased. People say, Ali said, erase it. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made me do. So that took a few days to put this Aqd al-Tahkim down. And then finally they wrote, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We'll read that inshallah and conclude. هذا ما تقاضى عليه علي بن أبي طالب ومعاوية بن أبي سفيان. قاضي علي على أهل الكوفة ومن معهم من شيعتهم من المؤمنين والمسلمين. There is a judge for Ali and the people of Kufa and with them of the مؤمنين and Muslimin. وقاضي معاوية على أهل الشام and the judge of Muawiyah on the people of Al-Sham and who is with them of مؤمنين and Muslimin. إننا ننزل عند حكم الله عز وجل في كتابه. We will abide by the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book. ولا يجمع بيننا غيره. And nothing will get us together except the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وإن كتاب الله عز وجل بيننا. And the book of Allah is between us. من فاتحته إلى خاتمته. From the فاتحة to the end. نحي ما أحيا. We will live by what the Quran revived. ونميت ما أمات. And we will not do what the Quran prevents us from doing. فما وجد الحكمان في كتاب الله. What the two judges find in the book of Allah. وهما عبد الله بن قيس أبو موسى الأشعري. عبد الله بن قيس is أبو موسى الأشعري. That's his name. وعمر بن العاص القرشي عملا به. Then this is the two judges. They named them. وما لم يجدا في كتاب الله. And if they don't find it in the book of Allah سبحانه وتعالى فالسنة العادلة. Then the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-jami'a ghayr al-mufarriq. This is what binds Muslims together. And then the two judges were given a vow of safety, that no matter what the ruling is, they will be safe, their families would be safe, their clans would be safe, and there should be no retaliation from either party against any of these judges. And instead of making the judgment right there on the battlefield, they delay it until Ramadan. And they delay it until the month of Ramadan, and they decided that they will do it in Dumat al-Jandal, in a place in south of Asham called Dumat al-Jandal. At that point, brothers and sisters, 70,000 Muslims were dead on the battlefield of Siffin. Half of the army of Muawiyah was wiped out. 45,000 soldiers, Muslims, in the army of Muawiyah were killed on that battle, and 25,000 of the army of Iraq were on the ground of Hattin. And the agreement was reached, and the two judges are to meet in this place called Dumat al-Jandal in what is today known as Jordan. And we will, inshallah, go over at-tahkim. And we will go over the what happened after the tahkim, the consequences, the tragic consequences of this tahkim. And inshallah, we will do this next Sunday. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.